Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
So it's really good to be with you. Just really praying that somehow God will take what I say, and that somehow through that God will speak to you personally in terms of your life today. I want to begin, if I may, with a word of personal confession. For almost the first 10, 11 years of my life as a Christ follower, from the age of about 16 to about the age of 28, prayer for me was primarily a matter of talking to the Lord. I would talk to the Lord. In fact, I would talk and talk and talk. One of my very first teachers, a guy who really helped me get the foundations of my faith in place, I'll never forget, he taught me the five-finger prayer, that I needed to adore the Lord, I needed to praise the Lord, I needed to confess, I needed to pray for others, and I needed to pray for myself. And so I would do that. I would do that on a very regular, almost daily basis. You know, when I look back on that time now, I realize I was really rude to God. Can you imagine if you had a friend and every time you get together, this person is with you and they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I don't know if you've got any friends like that. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. They never stop to maybe listen to you. They never wonder how you're doing. They never ask what is on your heart at the moment, what is on your mind. Imagine having a friendship like that. Imagine. And then around about 1979, long time ago, I entered a period of real spiritual turbulence. It's the only way I can describe it. A really upside-down time of search and struggle and wrestling with God. And I made a decision. To this day, I don't know why I made the decision, but I made the decision to spend 3 days, 2 nights, at a little retreat place in Bez Valley. Some of you know where Bez Valley is, just on the east of Johannesburg, city central. There's a little retreat place there, it's called Koinonia. And I went there, and I was greeted, I'll never forget, by a German Sister Liz. I'll never forget her name. She was a nun and she wore blue jeans, and I couldn't get my head around that. She took me to my little room. It was very small. There was a bed. There was a cross on the wall. And there was a little table. And that was it. Nothing else. And then she said, "Trevor, if you need anything, just give me a shout and I'll show you how to live without it." And then she, and I just remember this so clearly, she gave me a verse of scripture. John chapter 7, I still remember it. John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. And you know the passage, it's where Jesus is speaking. He says in a loud voice, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty, etc., come and drink." And she said to me, "Will you just live with these words for 3 days? Just read them and begin to listen to God." So I went off to my room, and about after an hour, I went back to her and I said, I'm finished. I've read it. Anything more? More scripture? She said, no. John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. Go and listen to the Lord. And so for 3 days, 2 nights, I lived with 3 verses of scripture. And I look back on that time, it was a very significant time, as Christ met me in my crisis. And through those 3 verses began to speak very, very deeply into my life. And when I went home, I made a commitment, and it's a commitment that is still with me today, that I would spend the rest of my life learning to listen to the Lord. And it's against that backdrop today that I want to do something that's very simple. All I want to do is I want to ask you to stop being rude with God. I'm not asking you to stop talking to God. I'm not asking you to stop sharing yourself with God. Please keep doing that. I'm asking you to begin a journey when you begin to learn to listen to what the Lord may be wanting to say to us. That is what today is all about. And my invitation comes to you with an RSVP. Will you begin to learn to listen to God? And the reason why I'm sharing this with you, and the reason why I'm extending this invitation to you is this. You can forget everything I say except this sentence. Listening lies at the heart of our relationship with God. Listening lies at the heart of our life with God. Let me take you to a passage of scripture. And you know it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It'll come up on the screen. I want you to have a long look at it. Some of you will know that good Jewish people, Orthodox Jewish people, will take this sentence. It's called the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. It's called the Shema, and a good Jewish person will recite this 3 times a day. When they wake up, lunchtime, when they go to the evening, they will recite these words. And you will also know that Jesus was a Jew. In his historical life, Jesus was a Jew. He was steeped in the Jewish scriptures. And you will also know that he gave this commandment as the most important commandment that there is. It's the most important one. And I want you to look at it very carefully. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Notice the first word. Have you ever noticed it before? Notice it. It's the Hebrew word Shema, which means hear, listen, be attentive. Eastern English. Tune in. It comes first. I cannot love God without listening to God. It comes first. The rest of the command follows Shema. Listen. Listening lies at the heart of our friendship with God. Don't be rude. Don't be rude. I was rude for 12 years. Don't make the same mistake. Do you know that in the Bible, God complains a bit? Did you know that? I find it a great relief that God complains. Do you know what God's greatest complaint is in the Bible? God complains about one thing more than anything else. Can I tell you what that is? My people don't listen. my people don't listen. Over 1,500 times, I will not take you through every text. Over 1,500 times, you'll come across the invitation to hear, to listen, to be attentive, to tune in. Listening lies at the heart. Listening lies at the heart of our friendship with Christ. And this comes to a wonderful climax in the New Testament when Jesus comes to be with us and we watch Jesus and the Father together. It's a wonderful thing watching Jesus and the Father together in the Gospels. I love doing that. And when you begin to do that, you begin to see that Jesus' relationship with the Father was based in a fearless listening to the Father. He said, I only do what the Father says. Huh? His obedience, his perfect obedience, his perfect faithfulness flowed out of his relationship of listening to the Father. And that is why Jesus says, and here I want to give you his words in Matthew chapter 4. Please look at them carefully. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Now, man does live on bread. You know that, and I know that. Bread is important. If our neighbor doesn't have bread, that is important. That is a spiritual issue. But we don't live on bread alone. We don't live on that alone because we're more than our bodies. We are spiritual beings, embodied spiritual beings. We live also on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It is that word that enlivens us, that gives us life, that guides us, that leads us. Listening lies at the heart. Have you got this yet, friends? Repetition is the mother of all learning. Listening lies at the heart of our life with God. It is as we listen to God that our relationship with God becomes two-way. It is as we listen to God that we begin to find out what God wants for our lives. We begin to walk along that unique pathway that God has in mind for us. I don't want to miss that. It is as we listen to God that, can I say this? Each boring day becomes an adventure with God. Hey? Because I'm tuned in to someone who is interested in me, who cares for me, who knows my name, who has a purpose for my life, and I want to walk in that way. Listening lies at the heart of our friendship, of our relationship with the Lord. Okay. Now, I know there's a question. I know it. I can see it. It's written across your minds, and that is, okay, Trevor, got you. How do I do this? Yeah. That's a very good question. It's a brilliant question. Listening to God is not easy. It really isn't easy. It isn't easy to listen to another human being. Now, we can see each other. We can see each other. And yet we find it so hard to genuinely listen to another human being. I very seldom meet human beings who listen well. Very seldom. Huh? We struggle sometimes. I love the story. Let me tell you, I love the story of the elderly couple. It's not me. Elderly couple. And this guy is a bit suspicious that his wife... is that her hearing is going. And so he decides to do a little experiment one day. She's working somewhere in the room. Her face is facing the other way. So he stands about 30 feet away from her just to check her hearing. And he says, can you hear me? There's no answer. So he goes 15 feet closer. Can you hear me? Hears nothing. thinks, okay, I'm going to go right up to her, behind her, right up behind her. Can you hear me? She turns around. She says, for goodness sake, for the third time, yes. He's deaf. How do we start listening? Hey? So what I'm going to do, and I really mean this, I could spend the rest of the year, aren't you glad you aren't around me? I could spend the rest of the year talking about this, I really could. But I'm just going to share with you some things to get you started. And if those of you who've been doing this for years, I just hope I'm encouraging you, renewing commitment in this area. Not so that you're not rude with God. So I want to suggest, and this is the starting point, that if we're going to begin to learn to listen to the Lord, we need to have a regular time and a specific place. Now that sounds like profound, doesn't it? But Jesus said this. Look at Jesus. Again, Jesus is so down to earth. I think he would love to live in Boksburg. And he is in Boksburg. But just listen to this. When you pray, go into your room. Just go into your room. Now, watch how down to earth it is. Shut the door. Shut the door. And pray to your Father. Share yourself and listen to your Father. Prayer is both sharing yourself and listening. It's two-way. Who is unseen, meaning invisible. God is an invisible presence in our lives. And that's why listening can sometimes be quite difficult. So he says, find a place, have a room. Now some of us don't maybe have an extra room in our house. Maybe we share a room. But what I'm saying today, and I want to encourage you to be specific. I want you to be creative about this. Find a place. Find a place. It can be a room. It can be a chair in the lounge. It can be the stoop. It can be your car. Don't let it be your bed. Not helpful. Not helpful. Can you pray in bed? Of course you can pray in bed. Is it a good listening post? I don't think so. I don't think so. Find a place where you can be alone, where you can have some solitude, you can have some silence, you're not going to be disturbed. That begins the journey. And finding that place, by doing that, you're saying to God, I'm really serious about this. This, my relationship with you isn't just on the go talking to you as I drive to work, which is fine. Really great. But it's very hard to do some very intensive listening to the Lord always on the go. Even with a loved one. Sometimes I just need to say to Debbie, I'm married to Debbie. I say to Debbie, can we hang out maybe? We go out together. We have a time together. We go to a special place so that we can listen to each other. How much more so with God? And we need a time. We need a time. And again, think about this. What works for you? Our timetables are different. Don't put something onto you which makes it hard. I'm going to now wake up every morning at 4:30 and I'm going to... That might be impossible for you. You might be a young mother with three kids trying to get them together, get them to school, make breakfast, put lunchboxes in. You can't do that. Some of you can do that. What works for you? Maybe your car at lunchtime. You can just walk out and go to your car. It's in the car park on your own. I know many people who do that. But just to begin to think, maybe it's when you get home and you have a break and no one else is there. Maybe it's you're a woman who, maybe a man, or kind of you work in your home during the day. Kids go off to school. You have a moment just after that. 10, 15 minutes or so. But make a time and carve it out in your diary and be regular 3-4 times a week. Just work on something that is specific, deliberate, and intentional. Can I encourage you? please. When you begin to like someone, what do? Can we hang out together? Can we spend a bit of time together? You make a date, you go out, you spend time together. It's exactly the same with God. It's exactly the same. Are we together? Great. Can I take another step? I want to say, friends, that if we're going to really, really begin to learn to listen to God, we need to place Scripture at the heart of our listening relationship. Very, very important. Now, God speaks in many different ways. You know that, I know that. God speaks through creation. God speaks through people. You come sometimes to church, Pastor Byron is speaking, God speaks through him, and you leave here and you say, God really spoke to me today, and his word came through someone. Sometimes God speaks through an event. Often God speaks to us in our pain. I don't know how many times people have heard God speaking to them in their pain and their heartache. However, fundamentally, God speaks to us in Scripture. Fundamentally. And we've got to put that foundationally into our life because it keeps our listening in other areas to God safe. It begins to give us a sense of how God speaks, what God says, the kind of things that are on God's heart, so that we can suss out what we think God is saying in other areas is kosher or not kosher. Are we connecting? Scripture is not only a record of how God spoke in the past, it is also a place where God's living word comes to us in the here and now. We need to place Scripture at the heart of our relationship with God. I really mean that. But how do we do this? Because I'm not talking about studying the Scripture. That is important. It's very important. But we can study Scripture without listening to God. We really can. I know people who really know a lot about the Bible. In fact, they sometimes carry very big Bibles, but who are a pain to be with. Somehow their faith has not transformed them. There's not a profound compassion, love, care. It's like their head is full of the stuff, but it hasn't got into them. It's not changing them. That happens as we listen to God. Now, Bible study is important, but it needs to be balanced with times of deep listening to God in Scripture. Can I suggest you're going to have to find a way of doing it. I suggest you ask Jesus to teach you. I really mean that. Jesus, will you start teaching me to hear your voice in Scripture? But I think what it will end up in is taking just a portion of Scripture, 10, 15 verses, whenever you're on your own, just reading it again and again, turning your eyes into ears, seeing if there's any word here or phrase or sentence that really touches you, strikes you, disturbs you, calls you, challenges you, comforts you, taking that word, taking that phrase, taking that sentence, and then staying with it. Staying with it. Lord, what are you saying here? What are you saying to me? How does this connect with my life? What are you saying in terms of my marriage, my work, my life, South Africa? What are you saying, Lord? As I take this piece of Scripture and in my heart, I turn it over and over and over again until it becomes part of me. And it's in that Scripture that God begins to speak to me. Can I give you like an Easterian illustration? It's like I've got a box of chocolates. Huh? I bring you a box of chocolates. I say, have one. And you look, and you look, and you look, and they all look lekker. But I only want, you need to be polite. So I say, take one. And then you wait for the one that looks at you and says, "Eat me. Just eat me." And then you take one, hey, and you taste it. And it becomes part of you. And in a similar way, it's when we read scripture, we wait. We pick our chocolate, or the chocolate picks us. And it's God saying, "This is my word for you. This is my word. Take it with you into the day. Let it turn over and over and over in your heart and mind." I've been doing that for over 40 years. Just, you know, on a regular basis saying, "Lord, speak to me. Just speak to me. I don't want to be rude anymore. I don't want to be rude." But can I give you another chunk of teaching here? Can I just say, we learn to listen to God, time, place. We learn to listen to God. We place scripture at the heart of our listening. It keeps our listening safe. It's foundational to our relationship with God. Absolutely foundational. And then when I move into the day, I keep my antenna up for anything that God may say to me. God doesn't only live in my quiet time. God doesn't only live in those few minutes where I get. God is active and present in my daily life, ready to meet me, engage me, and speak to me. And I want to keep my antenna up for whatever God is saying to me. Now, this is tricky. I know a lot of people who say to me, they've listened to God and God has said this to them, and it sounds a little bit off the wall. It really does. A bit crazy, maybe even destructive. I never forget, it was my first year of ministry. I was working in the Transkei, and one of the leaders of the church came to me and said, "God told me." Now, always when people say, "God told me," I always listen carefully. "God told me to bring these shoes to you. He wants you to have them," which was lovely. Gave the shoes to me. He went away. They didn't fit. They didn't fit. Now, doesn't God know my size? Now, I'm serious. But you see, it's that kind of craziness that gives listening to God a bad reputation. And there have been some very hurtful things that have been done because God told me. Some stupid things. So one needs to be very careful as one moves into this area of listening to God. And that is why we place scripture at the heart of it, because it grounds our listening. It keeps our listening safe. It puts some guardrails up. It gives me a sense of how God speaks to me. Now, you may say to me, and here's a question. This is a very good question. Often people will say to me, "Trevor, you're talking about God speaking to us, God's voice. What do you mean? I don't hear a voice." Now, let me say quickly, never in my life have I heard an audible voice. I know some people who have, and I respect their experience. My hunch is there may be one or two or three people here who've had experiences, audible experiences, of God speaking to them. I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I've never had that experience. So I've had to come to some kind of working operational understanding. What do I mean by God's voice? What do I mean by the small, still voice? What do I mean by that? Can I give you my best shot? It's a God's voice, I want to suggest, takes the shape of a distinctive kind of thought. Distinctive kind of thought. Now, not every thought I have comes from God. Some thoughts are my own, some thoughts get prompted by the evil one, but when I think God has something to share with us, there are some thoughts that are prompted within us by God's Spirit. And I want to suggest that those thoughts have certain characteristics about them. And I just want to give them to you very quickly. Just very quickly. Some of you I see are making notes. Here, I think these are helpful, just to make a note of this. I think when God speaks to us, there's usually some kind of surprise about it. It's not the kind of thing I would think up. There's just an element of surprise. The thought just comes, like it just comes, it just comes. And often comes again and again and again. Doesn't let me go. I think for me, the second thing about it is that it will always lead me into life. God, the Good Shepherd, I come, I bring you life, I do not bring you death. If I have a thought that is leading me in a destructive direction, it's not from God. If I have a thought, Trevor, you need to take your life, that is not from God. It's not from God. Okay, let's be clear about that. God is on the side of life. Always. So a characteristic always when I'm kind of sifting through my thinking, does this thought take me to life? Does it lead me towards life? Life, life, life. And then always, this thought will have a certain Christ-like feel about it. It will sound like the Good Shepherd. The thought will not contradict anything that I know about Jesus Christ and what he has already said to me in the Gospels. It just has a certain flavor about it. I love these words, and I think they're going to come up on the screen. James chapter 3, verse 17. This is so helpful. It's so down to earth. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's got a certain characteristic. It's loving. It's gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy, and it has the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It's always genuine, sincere, without hypocrisy. James, that's the James 3:17 test. So when I have a thought, I run it by the test. I know that verse inside out, lived with it for 40 years. Can I give you two real life illustrations? They both come from this week. Tuesday, I received disappointing news. Really, sometimes you get news, hits you sideways. I'm not going to tell you, you don't need to know, it's not important. But I was really knocked sideways. Into it, I just felt discouraged, down. So I spoke to the Lord about it, like I do about most things. I just unpacked my disappointment, I unpacked my discouragement, and I said, Lord, if you have anything to say, I would really appreciate listening and hearing from you. And then I leave it, and I go on with my life. It's not like I talk to God and then I say, okay, God, I'm ready, now you better speak to me. God, I'm not in charge of this. I don't call the shots. God does. But I want God to know that I'm open, receptive, ready, and available to hear anything that God may have to say to us or to me. And then it was, Thursday. I was just on a walk. And just a thought landed in my heart and in my mind. Three words. Put it down. Put it down. Lay it down. And it just came to me. And by faith and trust, I receive that word and I act on it. God doesn't talk to us just so we can. God talks to us so that we can walk in God's way. So I lay it down. And that's not easy. It hasn't been easy. Almost each day I ask, Lord, some grace today. Just lay it down. I don't want it to occupy my thinking. Lay it down so I can get on with my life. Lay it down, Trevor. Now for me, it, It came with some surprise. It's leading me to life. And it has something of a Christ feel about it. Lay it down. Surrender it. Give it up. Huh? The other one happened with Pastor Byron. I was having a Diet Coke with him on Friday, talking about today. And as we're chatting, I didn't have any real idea about what to talk about tonight. And as we were talking, it kind of just a thought, very strong, bit of surprise. I hadn't been thinking about this. I hope it leads us to life. Trevor, I think maybe Sunday night you can explore what it means to live with me in daily life, 24/7. So I said to Pastor Byron, do you mind if I, this has just come to me, do you mind if we talk about it on Sunday night? He said, no, let's go for it. Now, please, I want to be very, I'm not saying to you, God has told me that this is what I must speak about tonight for sure. I don't know 100% whether it was God's voice. I don't know. I'm not certain. But I receive it in trust and faith. Certainty is not needed. Certainty is an idol. It's an idol. None of us have made any big decisions on the basis of certainty. I didn't marry Debbie 40 years ago certain that she would stay faithful to me and that I would stay faithful to her. I wasn't certain. I could not say then 100% I know that Debbie will always be faithful. I couldn't. I took that act on the basis of what I knew, and I took an act of trust and faith. If I waited for certainty, I'd still be single. Now, I'm serious. You don't start a business because you are certain it's going to succeed. We don't have the privilege of certainty. Certainty can be a terrible idol that paralyzes people. I know people who for 40 years have been waiting for God to tell them what to do. Please, friends, we live by faith. We don't live by certainty. And that doesn't mean we blow our brains out. Doesn't mean that at all. I'm discerning. I suss out what God may be saying. And then I walk in faith and trust. And God knows my heart. And maybe even if God didn't say it, God knows my heart. God knows I want to be faithful. God knows I want to follow him. I've spoken too much. Some of you are beginning to yawn. How do I read that? Huh? How do I read that? Let me end. Can I tell you some good news? Jesus Christ is alive and present today as our resurrected Lord, as our shepherd who walks with us, as our King who rules over us, and as our friend who talks to us. Really, we are caught up with a living Lord who walks with us and who invites us now to begin to listen to his voice in our life and our experience and our context. And I want to invite you, friends, into that life today. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are our ever-present Lord and friend, our ever-present Savior and Master, and that you call us to hear your word, to hear what you say, and to obey your word, to walk in that way. And we want to say to you from the we really mean it, Lord. Will you teach us to listen? Will you teach us how to listen? We want to say sorry, Lord, for the times that we've been rude. We've just spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken and never stopped to hear what you want to say to us. We want to say sorry. We want to go in another direction. Will you lead us? Will you be our teacher and friend? And we ask for this with all the love and with all the longing of our hearts. And we say together as God's people, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.